There's two sort of large deposits at surface that at this point hold about 100 million tons of copper nickel, around a 1% equivalent. And there's some precious metals in there as well. And then the plans moving forward is just to continue drilling the project. That's what we're, the financing we're doing now is going towards. And that one new area we just acquired, we'd like to go out and do some infill drilling. And then, of course, spend some time looking at trying to make it larger, because we think there's a lot of potential to expand the project as well.
Greg Farron, PTX Metals, what's going on? How are you?
I'm great, Andy. How are you? Nice seeing you again.
It's really nice seeing you again, and I want to make an announcement to all of our viewers. In my family funds and the new fund that I am launching, we are starting to buy up, full disclosure, we're starting to buy up some PTX shares on the over-the-counter exchange here in the U.S. I want to wish you and thank you, Greg, congratulations on that. And it looks like that Greg will be a new sponsor to naturalresourcestocks.net. And I want to thank you for that. And I'm looking forward to our partnership. But that is a full disclosure statement here. Greg, you've had some great news. And this is part of the reason why I'm going to become an investor in my own funds. Tell me about the government funding that you received that's non-dilutive. And that's very key for me as an investor, and to all my viewers, that should be key for you. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, sure. Happy to do that. So all of our projects are in Ontario. We've got our copper nickel, precious metals project in the northern part of Ontario. And we've also got a gold project with a joint venture partner in Timmins, also in Ontario. And about 3 years ago, the Ontario government started committing capital to the sector, which is quite unique in Canada. So they set up three funds. One is an exploration fund. So they're helping cover 50% of the cost of the company's funding for exploration in Ontario projects. They've also got an innovation fund, which is putting money into technology to improve mining, for example. In our case, we've applied for that fund for a recovery fund, so to try to improve the recoveries of the network we're doing. And they've also got an infrastructure fund as well for more advanced projects that are in the development phase. So you saw earlier this year, a company called Magma Metals, Canadian Nickel, both got fairly large grants of about 10 million plus at the exploration stage, at the development stage. In our case, we received funding for the W2 project. That's our copper nickel project in the northern part of Ontario. And what that means is, you know, we put in half the cost for that program. They cover half. And it's a great thing for the economy, because obviously all that money goes back into exploration, creating jobs and services in the north. So that's a big part of it. And I think partly why they're interested in our project in particular, and I don't want to speak on behalf of the government, but because we do have, we're in a very interesting copper, nickel, precious metal camp in the northern part of Ontario, and there's a real push from the Ontario government to open up that camp and create another Sudbury-type mining camp. That's Sudbury, you know, has been in production for decades. And with that investments, they're putting in infrastructure as well, and we're very well positioned there because we're close to some of the nearby roads that they're bringing in from northwestern Ontario, which will benefit the First Nations communities because they'll have, better access to other communities, schools, hospitals. It'll lower their costs significantly, being able to get housing and supplies in as the infrastructure comes in. Then, of course, it's going to benefit the different mining operations in that part of Ontario. That's sort of the background of the fund.
That's excellent. And if I can ask, and I believe you can tell me, you can't tell me because it's out on you put it out on a press release. How much of the funding did you get specifically?
Yeah. So in this case, it was $200,000. And then we'll have to match the $200,000. So that's, you can put that towards a drill program, geochem, earlier stage work. And then the MET work that we're funding, we've applied for a $250,000 funding. And we're doing that actually in partnership with the University of Carleton, which is a university in Ottawa in Ontario. And they've got a very good mining school there and a bit of a world renowned copper nickel prof. that we're doing that in partnership with.
Excellent. And it's really this, as with all business, it's really a huge thing is relationships. And it seems like you already have those relationships in place and you are starting to work with those relationships, correct?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. You definitely want to keep all your options open in this market. Right. And it's really, really encouraging, I think, for investors globally to see the government helping fund these projects as well. Certainly encourages investment from the U.S., for example, Europe, within Canada, when you see, pension funds or governments helping to invest in infrastructure and exploration and mining.
Excellent. So let's take a step back here. And for those people that don't know about the project here, tell me first about the project and then tell me about you and your experience and how you're moving this forward.
Yeah. Okay. So our W2 project is in the northern part of Ontario, as mentioned. I guess the closest operating mine would be Musselwhite, which is owned by Newmont. It's north of Thunder Bay. It's in an area called the Oxford Stall Dome. And there's a project called Eagle's Nest that was acquired by Wyloo for about $650 million a few years ago. We've got a very similar project. Theirs is much deeper. Ours is a near surface. We issued a resource in September, you'll remember. We did that by way of an exploration target. It is a mineral resource, but an exploration target is like an inferred resource and allowed us to use a lot of the historical work because the project does benefit from a lot of drilling that Inco did earlier and another company called Aurora Platinum. And then we began drilling it as well earlier this year. And we've consolidated the whole project. And there's two sort of large deposits at surface that at this point hold about 100 million tons of copper nickel, around a 1% equivalent. And there's some precious metals in there as well. And then the plans moving forward is just to continue drilling the project. That's what the financing we're doing now is going towards. And that one new area we just acquired, we'd like to go out and do some infill drilling. And then, of course, spend some time looking at trying to make it larger because we think there's a lot of potential to expand the project as well. And I'm based in Toronto. We're listed on the Canadian Securities Exchange under the symbol PTX. And we also trade in the U.S., as you know, under PANXF on the OTC markets. And you're seeing some increased trading there as well. And since that resource came out, we've seen a lot of trading activity in our shares. We've traded about five times the normal volume. About 25% of our shares have changed hands in the past 6 to 8 weeks, which is very encouraging, obviously, to have new shareholders. And that's why you've sort of seen the shares price spike during that period. And we also have a gold portfolio in Timmins, which is near Sudbury, just south of Kirkland Lake around the IAM Gold Project, which is Canada's newest gold mine. It's a very large producer that went in production earlier this year. And so we're actually going to be looking to get back and drilling that project as well. And then the plans would be to drill the copper nickel project in the new year around February, March timeframe.
Got it. So I have been watching the stock a lot, actually, especially over the last couple of weeks, and your volume has increased. And I watched it on the over-the-counter market, and it's increased significantly. So congratulations to you. It seems like a lot of interest is being picked up here in the U.S. about the project. Tell me a little bit, is there a specific focus on nickel or copper or on precious metals, or can you work that out a little bit more for me? And I say that because, for example, my mother, if you would, and my stepfather, they want to add copper and nickel exposure into like industrial metals into their portfolio, if you would. This is not a pure copper and nickel play, though, is it? Or tell me about that.
Yeah, no, it's quite an interesting project, and it's similar to some of the deposits you see in South Africa in the Bushveld, or in the case of Ontario, Eagle's Nest, the deposit nearby. And it is a similar mix of commodities. It's an ultramafic system. These are layered intrusions, and usually you get an ore body, and often there's another layered of mineralization below that. And that's going to be part of our focus is trying to expand the deposit at depth going forward. So It is a copper deposit, but it does happen, and because the mineralization is hosted in a gabbro system. But there is a nickel sulfide component to it as well. And so it's not uncommon for these layered intrusions to have that multi-commodity. And the other interesting thing is you get the copper nickel grades are consistent across the entire two deposits, about a 7 kilometer strike length. So that's quite a large system. But you also get gold and at quite a high palladium component as well, especially in the eastern area where there's a PGE horizon, and you get up close to a gram per ton of palladium as well, based on the resource we did. So that's fairly conservative when you look at the grade. And it's not uncommon to have that type of system. So it's not a copper porphyry system. It's a disseminated copper system, and then you get the other mineralization, within that rock. And when we hit massive sulfides or semi-massive sulfides, that's when you see the grades spike up to 1, 2, or 3%. And so that's what we're going to be looking for going forward, is trying to find more of that high-grade system. That's what that new technical team we brought on board, led by Ryan Weston and Dr. Mugnell and Dave Bell. And we've also, already had a good team in place with Shuda and Ike. And they're all looking to help try to find more high-grade sulfides and massive and semi-massive sulfides.
Right. So just real quick, and I'd really like to end on this. And there's a saying, bet on the jockey, not the horse. And so tell me about yourself here. Why should investors and why should I, which I am, why should I be betting on you?
Yeah, good question. I've always felt that... there's always discussion in the industry, should the CEO be an engineer or a geologist?
Yes.
or have a finance background? In my case, I have a finance background, and I think both bring a lot of value as the CEO role, having both backgrounds. But at the end of the day, it's all about the person, right? And their personality and how they can work for people, build good teams and let them do their work. You have to have a good supportive shareholder base, good relationships with your shareholders and the communities you're working in. That's what really matters at the end of the day. And, so my career started in finance. I worked at the stock exchange for over 10 years in both trading, corporate finance, and at the exchange. I worked at some of the banks in Canada as well. And during that process, all we really did is financed small cap companies. That's what Canada's good at. Financing energy, mining, and technology companies. And then from that, I started working with the mining companies themselves. So a group that had a good track record, finding good projects, putting good technical teams together and taking these projects through, from discovery to permitting, with a goal to either get it in production or exit through a sale. And, a good example was I was the CEO of Treasury Metals, which is another Ontario-focused gold developer. It's now under the name of Next Gold. It went through a merger. We had a good run there. There was a bunch of problems when I became the CEO, and over a 3-year period, they were everything was fixed. The share price went from about 30 million market cap to 190 million. I left. The company was very well financed. Created about a 3 million ounce gold deposit in Ontario. And obviously that's not my skill set, building mines. So, very strong mine building engineering team took over, and was also involved with a company called Laramide Resources, which is the uranium company. And I think they've probably the best or one of the best positioned uranium companies globally. And so happy to have, good success there, working on corporate development, financing these projects, doing M&A transactions, bringing in new projects. And now I've been working on PTX Metals for about 3 years, and it didn't have as many problems as some of the other companies I've worked for, but it was really about, rebuilding it. So we put in a new project, the W2 project. We brought in a joint venture partner for the gold assets, new shareholders, raising a lot of capital. I guess we probably raised about 10 million in the last few years, getting the projects off the ground. And now all the projects are, much more advanced. In the case of W2, we've got a resource. they're all in, all the projects are in good standing in terms of, you know, their assessment credits and permits and that.
Yeah, I really appreciate actually your background in finance. I was talking to, it was a company that's also now a sponsor, but I was interviewing him and he said, and he's a geologist, he has a geology background. One of the problems with mining companies is that they have geologists as the CEO, meaning they just want to drill holes and they don't want to further the projects and further the company. So I do really, really appreciate your background in finance and furthering projects, cleaning up things and then furthering projects along. Fantastic. So we should be having some, they can't talk about, but we should be having some more news dripping throughout the next 4 to 6 weeks. Is that correct, Greg?
Yeah. No, definitely. You know, when the financing closes, we'll obviously be back doing exploration on both the gold and the copper over the next quarter. And we, you know, we're looking to get an announcement out about our uranium transaction in the first quarter. We're looking to divest that. I think it's the right time with the uranium sector really starting to pick up momentum. You know, with the recent election, as you know, there's a real push to develop nuclear reactors and uranium. You've seen Cameco's share price looks like some of the Bitcoin stocks or some of the, you know, the large tech companies, the shares have just gone like that. They're one of the, you know, the world's strongest uranium producers in Canada.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. Well, sounds great. Greg, if people want to know more about you, follow the company or purchase your stock, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah. So we've got information on our website under ptxmetals.com. Same thing. There's a website called SETI and CEDAR in Canada that has all the company's disclosures, the financial statements and management backgrounds. And we trade on the CSE under the symbol PTX. And as well, we trade, as mentioned, in the U.S. markets under the PANXF.
Excellent. Greg, thank you so much. We'll be following the stock. And again, full disclosure, I am becoming an investor. Greg is also a sponsor of naturalresourcestocks.net. I will be accumulating shares over the next several weeks after this video drops. I try to do it after just so there's no conflict of interest there. Please reach out to Greg. If you have any questions, you can follow him on his website and also on the Toronto Exchange, as well as the over-the-counter exchange. Thank you so much, Greg. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Andy. Have a great weekend. Nice seeing you again.
Thanks. Thank you.